Turn with me in your Bibles tonight to the book of Ezra. Ezra. And I want to read to you about three verses here in the book of Ezra. Ezra chapter 2, beginning in verse 61. I'll give you a minute in case you haven't read in the book of Ezra this week. Ezra chapter 2 and verse 61. I'll go ahead and confess to you that in my latter years, when something comes to my mind about a book of Scripture, I often have to go to the index and be reminded of exactly where that book is. If it makes you feel any better. Ezra chapter 2 and verse 61. And of the children of the priests, the children of Hebeiah, the children of Koz, the children of Barzillai, which took a wife of the daughters of Barzillai, the Gileadite, and was called after their name. These sought their register among those that were reckoned by genealogy, but they were not found. Therefore were they as polluted, put from the priesthood. And the tershanther, or the governor, said unto them, that they should not eat of the most holy things till there stood up a priest with the Urim and with Thummim. Now these people that we read about in this text, they had no doubt before been eating of these holy things which the priests were supposed to be allowed to eat of the things that were offered. But now they're held in question by some, I'm sure, because when the rolls and the registers of the priests were read, that which was accounted to be the roll that they were on, their names were not found. And so they were not allowed anymore to eat of the things called the holy things and the priest's table. But before this, sometime, I don't know exactly how long it was before this, there had a decree been made by the king, King David, and it had been re-emphasized and restated to Solomon before David died. It's found in 1 Kings chapter 2 in verse 7, where David is giving these final instructions to his son who would shortly be king. He says of all those that he probably will have to deal with severely, some that he will even have to kill, but he makes this exception. He says, but show kindness unto the sons of Barzillai, the Gileadite, and let him be of those that eat at thy table, for so they came to me when I fled because of Absalom, thy brother. Whenever David had fled because of Absalom and had to flee for his life, this man helped David. He took him in and he provided food and supplies for David and those that were with him. And David would have taken him back with him when he went back into the city, but he was an old man and he felt like he wanted to stay where he was and die in his home city. So David made this promise to him, and he restated it to Solomon, so that whenever all his descendants, his sons and his relatives, whenever there was food to be had, they were to eat of the king's table. They were to eat like the priest ate or better. But their claim and their right to this privilege had been called into question because they were not on the rolls of the priests. So the governor, the Tirshantha, had said that they would not be allowed to eat of these holy things, this provision, until it be decided by an action of the high priest. By the action of the high priest and the Urim and Thummim. Turn back with me to the book of Exodus. In chapter 28 of Exodus, and listen to what it says when the priestly robe, garments, paraphernalia are all being described, we find this description of the breastplate that he was to wear. You remember the breastplate of gold that the priest was to wear, and it was to have on it 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel that he would be representing before God. He was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, and those stones represented God's true Israel. They represented all the total amount and people of the Lord Jesus Christ, all God's elect. But it says in chapter 28 of Exodus, in verse 30, he says, "And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord, and Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually." This Urim and Thummim was to be put in the breastplate, and they were to be carried before the Lord as he represented these people, and they were always called instruments of judgment or justice. They were probably something like two stones. They were two objects, probably two stones of different colors or different designs, each of them, so that in order to decide a measure that was to be judged by the priest, they would be drawn out, and the one that would decide the object, yea or nay, would be reached in and gathered unknowingly by the priest. It would be something like a casting of lots. We often find this in the scripture, in these matters that the priests were to judge. They did it. They made these judgments by letting the Urim and Thummim decide. So it was an act of God. It was this decision of God. When you look over in the book of Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 16, listen to what it says. This is always the case. There is no such thing as luck. There is no such thing as a guess. There might be on our part, but there's surely not on God's part. It says in Proverbs 16 and verse 33, the lot is cast into the lap. In other words, just like a rolling of the dice, the casting of the lot is in the lap, but the whole disposing thereof, what is decided by just the roll of the dice, if you will, the casting of the lot, the drawing of straw, the human and thermal, whatever is decided, is disposed of by the Lord, by Jehovah God. And that is the case in every matter. They were a means of knowing the will, the mind of God for His people. That was just what was being decided in our text. Whether they had the right, the privilege to eat of the things of the holy things. So that's just like it is with us. Or who has the right to receive the things of God? Who has a right to all the blessings that are stated as belonging to the people of God in the scriptures? How do we come to know if we have the right to such possession of things? Some say that these things represented the first letter and the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. I don't know that for sure. And some say that they represent all knowledge and all wisdom. Maybe so. But whatever the case, just like everything in this book, everything that pertained to that priestly garment and outfit, it is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. If it means knowledge and wisdom, He is certainly all knowledge and all wisdom, even called the wisdom of God. If it represents the first and the last letter, He is surely Alpha and Omega in salvation. He's all in all things. He's the author and finisher of our faith. And the only way that anybody can know the will of God, who it is that receives such blessings as are represented in these holy things is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have a casting of lots such as was represented on the Day of Atonement when the two lots were cast for the two goats, one the Lord's goat and the other the offerer's goat. They'd cast lots to decide which goat was which goat to kill and which goat to let go. But we don't have the lots. We don't have the offering of goats. And not only that, we don't have to wonder. God does not have to speak by diverse means and diverse ways as we see in the New Testament. He doesn't have to decide matters in things such as Urim and Thummim, because all things are already decided and determined and revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. God spoke through these instruments in that Old Testament economy. He spoke in other ways, decided by lots and things like that. But turn over to the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 1, and listen to what it says. It says in Hebrews 1:1, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners, different ways, different means, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. But look at this. He hath in these last days, I know that people, preachers, eschatology buffs, they're always talking about the last days, putting them somewhere in our future, describing what will happen in the last days. But the last days came and were ushered in at the coming of Christ. He hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Singularly, clearly, positively, it is determined whether or not any receive these holy things, these blessings of God's grace, these things of His salvation, these gifts that we hear about spoken of in the New Testament, this salvation, it is determined in regard to Christ. Christ. You know, one of the most precious verses, enlightening verses, needful verses that we find in the New Testament says that all the promises of God. Now these could have looked back and they could have told the governor. Well, David promised us. David made a decree. Solomon carried it on, and he decreed that. We're not here on our own authority or our own choosing or our own right. David, the king, as a sovereign, he determined and decreed that we should eat at this table. We don't have anything by right as far as personally is concerned. You won't find our names on the roll of the natural, legal roll of the priest. We're not kings. and we're not priests, but we are to be treated as such. We're to eat these things, receive these things as such, because David said we were to. And that's the way the decree and the purpose of God is to his people. They have nothing by personal right. They have nothing by natural connection. They have nothing and are to get nothing by their own works, by their own offices, by what they do. But they are to receive these things of God by his purpose and decree, but they receive them, it's determined and revealed in Christ alone. This Urim and Thummim means lights and perfections. I went back and looked to see if I remembered correctly today. Urim means lights, plural. Thummim means perfections, plural. And I don't know of anything that would describe and picture and define the Lord Jesus Christ any better than these two words. He is lights and perfection. He is the Word. The Word. And he, if you'll notice and think about these objects being in the breastplate, and that breastplate being called the breastplate of judgment. It wasn't like armor. It was called the breastplate of judgment. We read that in Exodus 28. In other words, everything in regards to men is judged on the basis of Christ and him crucified, because that's what the priest represented when he carried in that sacrifice of blood and offered it before God. And he did it as a representative. He represented this people. And a decision was made in Christ before the foundation of the world. He's the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. But he's the lamb slain actually and really physically when he went to that cross. The judgment is over for his people that he represented. And he's light. He's light. I thought about it. Everything about the Lord Jesus Christ is a thing of harmony. It's not just that he's one thing to the contrary of another thing. He's not like I heard somebody would always say, he's a just God, but he's a Savior. No. He's all of these things in a harmony. He's a just God and he's a Savior. He is grace and he is truth. He is mercy and he is peace and righteousness. He's all these things. He's man and he's God. He's lights and perfections. He's the light of God that shines in revealing grace and mercy to us. He's the perfection of God in how it is accomplished. Look in John 1, first of all. John chapter 1, verse 5. It says, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. When Christ came, light came. Light came into this darkness, and men comprehended him not. Verse 9 says, that was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Here is God, come in human flesh, come as a man. Look over in John chapter 8. Verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. There's no if in that. That's a decree. That's a statement. They'll walk in light. They won't walk in darkness. And they'll have the light of life. They'll live. He that believeth on me shall live. Well, how's he going to believe? I'm going to give him the faith there. Light is truth. He's the truth. He's the answer from God. He's the defining of God. He's the revelation of God. He's the one in whom are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He's the one that can reveal God and does reveal God. And apart from his revelation, no man knows God. He's light. Light. He's also perfections. When the bride is describing him in the Song of Solomon, there's a wonderful description of him, the bridegroom in the Song of Solomon by the bridegroom. She says, he's altogether lovely. Altogether lovely. He's everything in harmony. I've often said that beauty is a composition of features in harmony with each other. They say, well, she's a beautiful woman. Well, here's one woman may have hair just as nice as she has, but she's a little bit homely. Here's another woman who may have a beautiful mouth, but she might be cross-eyed or something. Beauty is the harmony of all these attributes. And that's the way Christ is. He's all the attributes of God in harmony with each other. Grace and mercy and righteousness and justice and peace and everything about God meeting together in Jesus Christ, not only to magnify and glorify God, but to save his people in the doing of it. He's perfections. He's sinless. He's perfections. The Father says, this is my well-beloved Son. This is the one I'm well pleased with. And the thing is, every one of his children in him are these things met together. And they stand in these things in him before God. Here are these people. It's been determined by the king, who's dead and gone, that they're going to eat at his table, that they're going to have this food, that they have the right to these holy things. But he's not here. How will it be decided? By Urim and Thummim. It'll be decided by Christ, but not only by what represents Christ, but what represents the gospel of Christ. Imagine me as the priest. I reach in the breastplate. Take out the Urim and Thummim. And it's not important in how they looked or how they was come to be a yea or a nay. But I reach in and in a matter of judgment, do you go to hell? Do you go to heaven? Are you saved? Are you lost? You see, when the gospel is preached, that's just what is revealed. If we're in Christ, if we're in this great high priest, if he represented us, if he satisfied God, if he offered that blood on the true high mercy seat for us, we're saved. Eat of the holy things. Because it says, we are kings and priests unto God. We actually catch it on both things. We're in this priesthood. We're members of this kingly family. And that makes us, if you want to say so, doubly worthy in Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The will of God. Turn over to John chapter 6. The will of God. The Bible declares the will of God. When we preach the gospel, we declare the will of God. John 6, verse 39. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. You say, well, that's wonderful, but I can't find anything in that really for me personally. He didn't stop there. And this is the will of him that sent me. Same will. That everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. He doesn't state that second statement as a matter to be decided. It's already determined. It will be accomplished. The will of God in decreeing and determining that Christ would save this people that the Father gave him is the same will that decreed and determined that they will be brought to faith in Christ. They'll believe on him and they'll have everlasting life, and he will raise them up at the last day. As we say, no ifs, no buts, no maybes. The die is cast, as we say. The lot is cast, determined by God. And it's yea and amen in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ has perfectly communicated the mind and the will of God to his people. And he does it through the gospel. He does it through the gospel. As a matter of fact, he's determined everything concerning them. Everything concerning them. In every given situation, we may not know exactly what's going to happen. But we know if it happens, it was the will of God. Why? The will of God in Christ. Paul tells the Thessalonian believers, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What's your claim to eating, partaking of the holy things? Eating at the king's table? Our Urim and Thummim has made it sure. It's ours in Christ. It's ours because God has made that known. He's brought us to believe. He's brought us to believe that he's determined, decided it all, and provided it all. And that's why he gets the glory. I just imagine some of those folks. They really, for a while there, they felt like second-class citizens or something. Maybe even had a hunger pain in the belly. But the priest decides it all. He decides it all. That's Christ. Our Father, we thank you tonight for your sweet word. And the fact that everywhere it points to, it describes, it displays the glories of your saving grace and mercy in Jesus Christ. Christ and him crucified. Ought not the Christ to have suffered and then entered into his glory? We praise you for it. We thank you for him. We thank you that you made all the promises. All the promises of your grace. Yes. And amen. True. In Christ. Watch over us as we depart from this place. Keep us, protect us, provide for us. Get glory unto yourself. We thank you for our Savior. We pray in his name. Amen.